Welcome to Foresight Friday Roundup, Foresight Health's podcast series for healthcare revolutionaries. Outcomes matter, customers count, and value rules. Hello again, everyone. This is Dave Berta, news editor at Foresight Health. Today on Foresight Friday Roundup, we're going to be talking about behavioral health in light of the COVID-19 outbreak. We're going to be talking about the demand for behavioral health services from patients and others who have been affected by COVID-19, the demand for behavioral health services from doctors, nurses, and other frontline caregivers who have been treating COVID-19 patients, and what the market needs to do to respond to the demand for behavioral health services from both those groups. As always, our resident experts on Foresight Friday Roundup to comment on our topics are Dave Johnson, founder and CEO of Foresight Health, and Gary Bisbee, co-founder and executive chairman of the Health Management Academy. Hey, Dave. Hey, Gary. How are you guys doing?
Morning.
3 yards in a cloud of dust, Dave. One day at a time.
How about you, Gary?
Well, I was more for the long pass, Dave, than the 3 yards in a cloud of dust, but I'm doing well. Thank you.
The vertical game. Great.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, before we talk about behavioral health, I wanted to ask, and perhaps this is related to today's topic, whether either of you have heard from or connected with an old friend or an old colleague during the pandemic, you know, someone you didn't think you'd hear from ever again, but who reached out while they were sheltering in place. Dave?
One of the real delights has been this reconnecting with people that we haven't seen as frequently. Probably the best example from my experience is that my group of fraternity brothers from Colgate University is getting together every 2 weeks for a Zoom call. And a lot of us haven't seen each other since graduation. So it's been a chance to reconnect with that group who we're very close to in college and see what they've done since then. And also a chance to see what, you know, interact with those I've been closer to. So that's been fun.
Great. Gary, how about you?
Well, at first, we need to acknowledge that Dave Johnson is putting in a plug for Colgate here. So let's deal with that as it may. But I have heard from some professional colleagues who are great networkers. Dave Johnson is a great networker as well. But they've taken this occasion to reach out and reconnect, which I think is terrific and an unintended benefit of this whole staying at home.
That's great. I've heard from a lot of old colleagues that, they're doing well, and we've done some Zoom calls together, and it's nice to see a friendly face when you're stuck inside for so long. So, well, that's a good segue into today's topic, which is behavioral health. Dave, let's start with you. How do you see the demand for behavioral health services changing in the patient population and in the general population because of COVID-19, and why, and where is that demand going to go?
Before we get to demand, Dave, I'm going to channel my inner Donald Rumsfeld, who, when he was Secretary of Defense during the Iraq War, used to talk about risks as known unknowns and unknown unknowns. And for me, the greatest risk is something Rumsfeld didn't talk about. It's unknown knowns, things we know to be true but choose to ignore because they're complicated or inconvenient. Healthcare is full of these unknown knowns. And one of the worst is in mental health. We know there is an intimate connection between physical health and mental health, but we treat them as separate conditions. And as a consequence, America woefully underinvests in mental health services with predictable results, more physical illness, less societal productivity, less individual and societal happiness. This was the impetus behind the Mental Health Parity Act of 1996, which is still very much a work in progress. So, like so much in healthcare, COVID-19 has made the system's deficiencies in treating mental health illnesses much more apparent. The lack of access, the undersupply of practitioners, and so on. And the demand is increasing. Kaiser Family Foundation reports that 40% of Americans feel that the stress and uncertainty caused during the lockdown has negatively influenced their mental health, 12% seriously. And it's probably going to get worse as we move from the honeymoon phase of responding to the pandemic to the disillusionment phase, which could last months or even years. One silver lining, Blue Cross reports that 75% of those receiving mental health services have continued to receive them through virtual therapy appointments, and only 16% have delayed mental health appointments versus 42% overall who have delayed healthcare appointments. But still, even with those numbers, 25% who were receiving care aren't receiving it now. And anecdotally, in talking to my friends who are therapists, patients are more stressed, anxious, and or depressed than ever. Dave, this just isn't a feel-good story. The demand for mental health services is increasing and will probably skyrocket, and the system is just going to be scrambling to try to meet it.
Got it. Gary, what's your assessment of the demand for behavioral health services as the pandemic rolls on and hopefully dies down at some point?
Well, I agree with Dave. Loneliness, isolation, financial stress, underinvesting on the part of the system. We've recently seen social determinants of health being more front page material. However, we still haven't solved the resources that would underlie that. But let me go to the provider issues on this one for a moment. Part of the caregiver issue here is that for those that are actually treating COVID patients in hospitals, largely the COVID situation, the outbreak came at them very quickly. So not really prepared for it. There was much problem with PPE in the early days. There was risk to themselves, to the caregivers, as well as the caregivers' families. And the consequence is that there's just a lot of stress on caregivers that they were not prepared for. Wright Lassiter from Henry Ford, when I interviewed Wright for the podcast, recently made the point that at that time, Henry Ford had 250 deaths from COVID in their network. And he further made the point that most of the caregivers had never seen 250 deaths in their entire career, let alone in the 2 or 3 weeks of these COVID patients. And that's not uncommon, that particular point of view. So I think that if you look at Rod Hochman, when I was talking to Rod, CEO of Providence, Wright, of course, CEO from Henry Ford. But when I was talking to Rod, he made the point that they had actually developed an app for the caregivers that were in stressful situations, and they had found that app to be useful. So at any event, totally agree with Dave on the general population, but there is going to be a continuing series of issues from these caregivers that I would think is not going to be measured in weeks or months, but is going to be measured in years. I just see over the next 2 or 3 years that there will be issues related to these caregivers, not unlike PTSD that we've seen in other stressful situations like wars.
Got it. Dave, what's your take on the demand for behavioral health services from doctors, nurses, and others who have treated COVID-19 patients? And what marketplace innovations, I know Gary just mentioned an app, things that you've seen that make you optimistic that we can meet that demand?
Gary's nailed it once again on this topic. There's been enormous stress on the frontline caregivers, and I do think post-traumatic stress is the right analogy. In so many ways, the frontline caregivers have been the real heroes of this, and I think in many ways, when we look back at the spring of 2020, it's going to be the time when we say that American healthcare rediscovered its soul just because of the selfless compassion and efforts of so many hundreds of thousands, maybe even millions of caregivers to treat the sick before them in the most humane ways possible. So that's definitely true, and it's going to be with us for a while. I do think in terms of, you asked about technologies and apps and so on, I think we're being starting to be very thoughtful about what the workplace of the future is going to look like, and how our flows, patient flows, going to work. It's going to be much more one directional. There'll be more options for spacing, frictionless, touchless interactions to the extent possible. Hospitals already have been probably the best places in the country in terms of dealing with infection. So unlike in so many other areas where healthcare looks to other industries, I think other industries are looking to healthcare for guidance. So that's going to be part of it. And then on the mental health side, I think there's an acknowledgement of how much stress there is. So being more deliberate in providing mental health breaks for people, and recognizing that ways to encourage interaction and so on are really important. And then there are these whole host of technological solutions, both to monitor physical and mental health status, as well as to provide low-cost virtual ways of connecting and treating problems as they arise. So I think we'll continue to see real innovation in that area. But the biggest innovation of all, as you've heard me say many times before, is we're not going to change the way we deliver care until we change the way we pay for care. And as we move to more capitated risk per member per month, I do believe mental health services, social determinants health, and many of the actual environmental conditions that influence physical health will get more attention, and more innovation will follow that. And if that ends up being the byproduct of COVID-19 for American healthcare, that's something for us all to cheer about.
Makes people long for the days of physician burnout. Right. I mean, it,
wow.
Gary, other than the app you mentioned earlier, how do you see the market responding to the need of caregivers for behavioral health services in the future? Any reason to be optimistic about that?
Well, I think the system will respond. My point of view on this is probably colored from the time that I ran an HMO in the early days, and found out very quickly there that demand for mental health services, behavioral health services, is related to supply. So the more supply is available, the more use people can make of that. And I think that, which is probably not atypical from many types of healthcare, behavioral health is just one. So I think the system will respond, whether it responds at the pace that, we would like to see remains to be seen. Dave's point about services tend to follow payment is another variant of this supply-demand equation. I totally agree with Dave, of course, on that point. So, as we begin to kind of recognize that there's a variety of different levels of behavioral health or mental health services required, from the intense PTSD services to the more ongoing behavioral health that would be covered under, let's say, social determinants of health type programs, my guess is that the system will respond as it typically does. It's not going to be as fast as any of us would want. And I do think, Dave, it gets back to that point about social determinants. And I think we've had this discussion before, but going back 50, 60, 70 years, we've seen various attempts at funding for social determinants. It's really never sustained itself. And so, as you say, maybe one of the outcomes of COVID will be there is a recognition that health is public health as well as acute health. And the more dollars that are allocated to social determinants, the better we're all going to be.
Dave, anything to add to Gary's thoughts before we talk about next week?
I guess the only other thing I'd say is I think we're getting smarter about sort of the work that, that frontline caregivers do. So eliminating mundane tasks, giving better behavioral nudges to do the right thing at the right time in the right way. I think that will have a real beneficial impact on mental health as people are working smarter and feeling less burdened that they aren't necessarily doing the best for patients. So I'm encouraged by that.
I love it. I love it when Dave says we're getting smarter.
Yeah, I definitely don't hear that enough. This is great. All right, let's talk about next week. Gary, what do you see as the big story in healthcare in the week ahead? What should we expect?
Well, I think there's just a lot of understanding about the assessment of what this all means. And as the states open up and communities open up, how our behavior is going to kind of react to that is pretty interesting. So some people have been out and working. They don't probably see there's much of a change. Others have been in their houses for 2.5 or 3 months. They're kind of sticking their nose out the door and seeing what's going on out there. So how people react to the communities opening up is going to be pretty interesting.
Got it. Dave, what do you see as the big story next week?
Well, the reopening of society is clearly the big story. You know, there's that Papa John's pizza commercial that says better ingredients, better pizza. I sometimes say better data, better decisions. We still don't have great data on how the disease spreads, and I'm thinking by profession. So, for example, as kids go back to school, will teachers disproportionately get COVID-19? But I think as we start to collect that type of data of how the disease spreads, we're going to become much more effective as a society in figuring out where to isolate and direct resources. So really, Gary, we are going to get smarter in addition to better looking and more athletic. And
I hope so.
But we really do need better data to get that. And I think overall, cities, states, health systems, companies, even individuals are trying to figure out how to get that data to the right places so we can make better decisions.
Great, great. That's all we have time for today. As always, we appreciate your comments and your insights. Thank you. If you'd like to learn more about the topics we discussed today, please visit our website at foresighthealth.com. Thanks again for listening. I'm Dave Berta for Foresight Health.